to That's Orgasmic, a podcast discussing the orgasmic and not so orgasmic moments of all things sex, relationships, and mental health. I am your host, Emily Duncan, and I'm a sexologist who provides online sex coaching sessions to help you cultivate sexual wellness. Today, I am joined with Bella Johnston, who is an ex-reality star, full-time funny girl, always horny and currently homeless, slay, and navigating her life in her 20s. So, welcome to That's Orgasmic.
Thank you, Emily. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Excited to obviously have you in person. We've tried this multiple times now, and it's been a shit show online, so it's nice to
It's
have
great to do it in person. I'm a very, like, I like to do things face-to-face. It's good.
100%.
It's
nice. Yeah, changes the vibe too.
It's great to be in Geelong.
Yeah, lovely place. All right, so first things first, like, when I read your bio, I, like, laughed so much when you, like, put that in there. I was like, this is so you. And obviously, you were, like, always horny. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we've got to talk about this. So, like, what's life like, navigating always being horny?
Chronically horny. Well, you know, it's had its ups and downs.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning, actually, and, like, sexuality and, like, how that's kind of been, like, such a, like, an influence in my life.
Yeah.
And I think now that I'm, like, reaching the end of my 20s, in my early 20s, I definitely weaponized my sexuality a lot. Like, weaponized it against myself and, like, against other people. I used it to my advantage and things like that. Whereas now, like, in my later 20s, I feel like I'm really reaching, like, a softer place with things,
mm-hmm.
where I'm actually focusing less on using it as a device and more of, like, actually looking at the pleasure of things. Like,
yeah.
And I think working, like, the last few years when I started working with a lot of sex toy brands as well, that's really helped. I've got, like, an arsenal, like, collection there.
I can,
like,
imagine.
Oh my God, I've got
boxes.
Can
you even fit them all in, like, so you've got them in boxes?
Yeah, because I'm homeless at the moment. So I literally have a box of vibrators in the back of my car.
Like, ready to go wherever you are.
Yeah, literally. And because I always use them when I'm filming funny videos and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I just, like, if I drive anyone in the car, they'll just pull out this big fucking dildo and be like, what the hell is this? I'm like, well, that's a vibe, man. Like, don't touch it too closely.
I love that. My bedside table's nearly full. Like, not all the drawers, just the middle drawer. Can't fit everything. Like, I've got, like, a big penis pump in my closet.
Wow.
Like, random. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get sent, like, obviously it'd be the same as you, just, like, random stuff and all these different, like, sex toys. But I like that you're, I guess, your sexuality, like, talking about how it's, like, flowed and changed and stuff, because I think that's, like, I feel like I'm in that at the moment. I used to always, like, just want sex all the time, very much use it for, like, validation, and it wasn't even, like, good sex. Just a root was a root, and I'd just be trying to just root, you know what I mean?
And it's very, like, male gaze, man-centric focused.
Yeah.
Like, I've started this new thing recently, which is liberating.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy doesn't fuck me right, I just tell him.
Yeah.
So I hooked up with this guy a little while ago when I was on holidays, and he didn't go down on me. He didn't finger me. It was like spit job straight in, me on top. And it was over in about like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I rolled off and he's like, oh, you know, that was good. And I was like, actually, no, it wasn't. I was like, it was pretty average. Like, I was like, you know, I know we're drunk, but, like, that was average at best. I didn't get anything from it. I was like, I'm glad you came on me. But that didn't do much
for
me.
How did he take that?
He got salty.
Did he?
But I've just decided, like, it's not up to us as women to tell men how to root. There is enough resources on the internet. And I'm not talking pornography. I'm talking, like, there are enough, like, Instagrams, like, sexologists like you.
Podcasts.
It is not hard to figure out how to have good sex with a woman. But I will happily tell you if you need to work on your stroke, man, because, like, I am sick of bad sex.
Yeah.
So it's not up to us to educate, but it's up to us to review.
Yeah.
Leave that Google review, babe.
No, 100%. I always talk about it after sex every time I have, even, like, when I've seen someone multiple times, I always want to talk about afterwards, like, what, like, you know, what did we like, what did we not like, and to, like, improve for next time. And because, like, I 100% agree that they need to just do better and they should just at least know the basics. Like, you know, foreplay should just be standard, or like outer play, like, should just be standard. Like, the fact when they just go and try and shove it straight in, or they'll, like, finger you for 5 seconds and just, like, oh, you feel wet, so, you know, chuck it in.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, it doesn't work like that.
No, and I think that pornography especially has given And I do, like, pity is probably the wrong word, but I feel for men because I also learned how to have sex watching pornography. Yeah, like, it's the way we all grew up. And as I just said before, it's taken to my late 20s to figure out, like, actually how to, focus on my own pleasure and the female pleasure. But, I feel bad for them because they have learned from pornography, and pornography doesn't show you how foreplay should actually go.
Yeah.
You got a guy going down on a girl like a fucking Labrador. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and they're just like jamming their fingers in. Like, that's not how you do it.
Yeah.
And I also, I'm a firm believer that foreplay should go for like 10 hours. Foreplay should start at the beginning of the date.
Yeah.
Like when he puts his hand on your knee, that is fucking foreplay. Like
I said, I get so turned. That is one of my weaknesses. My stomach literally flips.
Yeah.
Literally flips. Yeah.
And guys don't realize that. Like the whole date is them.
Yeah.
You're like, your man should be seducing you from the moment you wake up to the moment you actually go to bed.
Yeah.
Like that is the, like, seduction is a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like foreplay is a long-term thing.
It literally begins from the last time you have sex.
Yes.
You're having sex with that person multiple times.
Absolutely. And men just think that they, like, there's facilitators and there's I can't remember the wording I used actually. I wrote it down on my phone, but I made up this theory, right? There's kind of two men you have sex with.
Yeah.
There's the guys that are there to facilitate your own your orgasm as a female, and there's guys that are just there to facilitate their own.
Yeah.
And the guys that facilitate their own do the bare minimum, stick a finger in ya, spit job, think that you're wet enough, stick their dick in. Mm-hmm. But then you've got guys sometimes, that actually want to communicate, make sure you're having a good time, find out your needs. They want you to orgasm. Sometimes I find them a little bit cringy. They maybe go a little too far. But I appreciate the effort so much.
Yeah,
I'm a hard woman to please.
It's hard. Also, like, I feel like as soon as you bring in, like, casual sex, like, trying to
navigate
that and get what you want from that. Yeah, absolutely. It's a whole whirlwind.
It's a whole kettle of fish.
Yeah, having sex with men as a woman is something.
Yeah. And I think it's really taken me, I'm 28. What have I been having sex? I don't know. Let's say the last 10 years. Ish. It's taken me, the last 10 years to really, I think in my early 20s, I was letting men just, walk all over me.
Yeah.
Because I thought that that was the point. Like, that was sex. Like, getting that validation for being wanted. You don't get taught any
different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope, and especially with, the sexualization, and I'm not talking, the over-sexualization, but the sexualization of, Instagram and things like that now, but not even in the way, people are posting slutty stuff, but the way we talk about OnlyFans now, the way pornography is becoming a bit more mainstream, but, human-centered pornography, not company-centered pornography.
Yeah.
I think we're in this beautiful age of the world now where we have all these options for education, and I hope that changes things maybe for the next generation.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're becoming a better, especially because, even on, TikTok and things like that, even though it's heavily censored, I'm seeing more and more, I guess, conversations around, one, how pleasure should be and what sex should look like, and challenging what that looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think also now that the LGBTIQA plus community is, being more represented and seen, I think that also challenges the sexual scripts a bit, because it's kind of saying,
definitely,
this isn't how sex should be. It's not centered around a penis, or it's not centered around penetration. Like, this is how sex can look for, in different ways. And even, disabled people and the way they have sex. I think it's definitely going towards the right way, but it's hard.
It'd be so
just a lot of conversations.
Hard.
Like, I've had so many conversations about sex with people I've had sex with, just trying to get to a point of, doing it. And even as, a sexologist, I've only orgasmed with somebody once during sex.
Yeah.
Literally only once. And I think the only reason that was because, they were so really slow and dragged out. Almost borderline painful of how slow they were having sex with me. There was no hard and fast. They just wanted really slow. And I was so hungover. I'd been having sex for an hour, and I was just like, what is this man doing?
What is
doing?
Going on? Yeah.
What is he doing? And then it must have been, because it can take women 20 to 40 minutes to actually become fully aroused. Obviously, I'm on the towards 40 minutes end, because I remember I got on top, and then all of a sudden I had an orgasm, and I was like, where did this come from?
Yep.
But everybody else is too, they don't want to slow down.
They don't.
Or they think it's too intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, we want like this, like,
you know, and especially in casual sex, like,
yeah, you know. And I'm like, no, like, I need so much time to actually get aroused.
Yeah. So my cousin, I've it's weird, I have a really close family and we talk about this kind of stuff a lot, and my cousin is very spiritual and very a bit woo-woo, but like very, a lot of her friends are sexologists and therapists and things like that. Anyway, the way she described it to me, and I kid you not, this was when I was about 15.
Yeah.
Men's sexuality is a peak. Like, they just go up and they go down.
Yeah.
Like, they can get hard and down. Women's is a spiral. And so, like, the way a woman gets to an orgasm, it's a spiral. So it takes a long time, and they've got to finally, like, reach that little spirally bit at the moment. But yeah, 20, 40 minutes. Like, I remember my first orgasm with a man, and he'd given me a half an hour full body massage first. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the first time I came, because I actually had someone, like, building up to it.
Yeah, 100%. Where it was time, like, to relax too, and, like, get out of your head and, like,
it was amazing. And that's, like, that was the first time I came, and I just, yeah. And then other times I have, it's taken, you know, at least a good half an hour of foreplay. Like,
I think that's important to touch on, because I think so many women think they're, like, broken or, like, something's not right. No. But the way we have sex isn't centered towards our orgasm.
No, it's the education system that's broken. Like, and not school, but I'm talking, like,
just society in general.
The way men learn how to fuck.
Yeah.
Which, again, brings me back to, you've got to review them. You've got to let them know.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, if you feel comfortable educating them, but I'm at the firm belief, like, you know, don't take that emotional labor on. Give them some resources. Yeah. Direct them to your Instagram.
Yeah, literally. Here's my podcast. Yeah. It's 100 episodes. Go treat yourself.
There you go, darling. Like, even, like, call her daddy. I don't know if you're... That was huge back in the day, because it was, like, I remember guys, I used to have guys telling me that they listened to Call Her Daddy, and I was like, wow, like, good for you. Like, you're learning shit about women and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was, Call Her Daddy walked so we could run.
Yeah, fucking earth it did. Fucking earth. I guess coming back to, like, the always horny part, obviously you're on The Bachelor, and I would love to, like, no, like, in the house, like, what's going on? Like, can you, like, masturbate? Like, are you bunked up? Like, did you have to literally go, like, celibate for, like, how long were you there?
It was, like, about 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. Like, I'm honestly surprised that, like, me and the girls didn't, like, because a lot of the girls there were queer.
Yeah.
And buy and things like that. So I'm actually surprised people didn't hook up. Like,
I feel like I would be the one doing that. Because, like, I'm queer myself too. And I feel like if there was a chicken and I was vibing, I'd just be like, let's go.
Yeah. I think the issue with it is that they really convince you that this man is what you want. Like, it's kind of, it's a weird head fuck. I can't get too much into it. But in terms of, like, horniness, I took vibrators.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you go into the house, you get your bag looked through to make sure you don't have any contraband. And I had this little vibrator, my favorite one, and it was in, like, a little case. And she pulled it out. She's like, what's this? I was like, oh, that's my vibrator. And she was like, oh my God, okay. Like, put it away. But yeah, we weren't allowed to watch movies for a while. But then as people started to leave, we were allowed to watch TV on the weekends, movies only. No. You're not allowed any, like, outside influence.
Okay, yeah.
And so
what were you just doing if you can't watch TV?
Talking, sleeping, reading books.
Oh, does that drive you nutty?
Yeah.
It would drive all of you nutty.
Yeah.
No. They probably do that on purpose to get some, like, drama.
Absolutely. But, like, it was kind of nice. Like, what we ended up doing after certain people left, it became quite a calm and beautiful household. And so we all started hosting, like, little workshops. Okay. So, like, Kiki would do, like, meditation classes. I would do cooking classes because I love cooking. And, like, girls would do, like, PT sessions. Like, so it was really cool. We created this little community. But in terms of masturbating, when we started watching movies, I remember, what did we watch? We're watching Matthew McConaughey. We watched, like, 10 Things I Hate About... Not 10 Things I Hate About You. What's that? Oh, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah.
We watched Fool's Gold, and then we started watching 50 First Dates, and I was like, nah, fuck this, I'm out. Like, I was like, guys, I'm going to the shower, no one coming for a while, I'm gonna go have a wank. And I did. Like, there was a few showers, but you could always lock the doors. And so I would just announce to everyone, I'm gonna go have a Maz in the shower, and I would, and then I'd come out and be like, right, everyone, I came, like, you know, someone else's turn now.
Oh, that's funny. I love that. Yeah,
but we used to get so worked up, and I guess that's kind of what they want, but like there was a lot of hot cameramen, like a lot of hot sound crew.
I can imagine.
And we would play these games. Oh my God, it was so funny. This was one of the funniest nights, actually. We were all mic'd up because we were waiting for something to happen. I can't remember. But every time a crew member would walk into the room, there was about 20 of us. Every time, or maybe 15. Every time a crew member would walk into the room, we'd be like, would you fuck him? And everyone would be like, yeah. And the crew were like, kind of like, they were like, oh my God. But then they were kind of like, oh my God.
Imagine being the one when you walk in and everybody's like silent. Yeah, like.
We hype them up.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, then they started, I could tell that they were starting to walk in on purpose because they're like, oh, I want to know if they're fucking me. And we'd be like, yeah, we'd fuck him. Like, yeah. And it just was, and then we'd all get the giggles. But yeah, I would have fucked most of the crew.
That is so
not
funny.
Allowed. But I would have.
Yeah, that is so funny. I remember one season watching it where one of the girls was like chatting up the...
Yeah, I remember. Wasn't that the one where they called him a dog cunt as well?
Probably. Yeah, I think that was the same. Yeah, yeah. Which I must say, because I've watched like your season and like you were so iconic throughout it. Like the shit coming out of your mouth is so funny. So funny.
I know.
You just seemed like so real, if you know what I mean. Like just.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I was pretty realistic from the get go. Like statistically, you're probably not going to win.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm there for a good time. Like, yeah. I just don't really give a fuck. I napped so much, man. Always sleeping.
Good rest. Two-month rest.
I came out of there feeling so refreshed.
That is so funny. Like, yep, I'm ready to go about my life now, new direction.
Yeah, I reckon I got a shag within, like, 2 days of getting out of the house as well. Like, I came out, I was like, right, where's that dick? Like, give me some.
Yep, 100%. That's so funny. I'd love to, if you're comfortable talking about it, like, best sexual experience and, like, and, like, why.
After I got out of the house, I started having some of the best sex of my life.
Interesting.
Which I think was maybe like a bit of a combo of just feeling really myself. Like I was just feeling really in tune with myself. I'd just gone like 2 months with like no phone. Like I was like zen as.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of hookups I had where I was like, holy shit. Like, one was in the bathroom of a restaurant.
Hot.
Yeah. We went out for dinner with like a friend and like her friends of friends. Like I didn't actually know anyone. Mind you, I didn't wear any makeup that day. Like I was like fully
It's always the days you're not prepared.
Yeah.
The days when you're like not prepared at all.
Nah.
Comes your way.
And I happened to sit next to this guy who was so fucking hot. I just was like staring at him all day. Like... He kind of had that, like, rugby player, like, broken nose, like, I don't know. I love a big, like, big dirty man. Like, give me the honey badger.
Yeah.
We were just looking at each other. And I remember he looked over at me and he's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, I can't stop staring at your tits. I was like, that's okay. And then he's like, do you want to go to the bathroom? I was like, yeah, I do.
That is so hot.
Mm-hmm. And the sex probably only lasted, like, 5 minutes, but it was... just like the most intense fight. You know what I mean? Like we'd had a 4-course meal. Like bringing it back to foreplay. Like every time he'd look at me, it was like he's undressing me. And like he'd put his, he'd touch me and look, oh,
was he doing that under the table?
Oh yes.
I would have died.
So like I would have quivering.
Literally, I would have been the same. 100%.
Yeah. And then he just ripped my pants off in the toilet and we nearly broke a lamp. Like it was just.
And is this like middle of the day or night?
No, it's like 2 PM. Yeah. 2 PM.
That is so funny.
Yeah. But it was amazing. That was probably one of the best hookups I've ever had in my life. I've got this real thing about sex and I love public sex. Like, and since then I've been getting back into it again. Not like public sex, like doing it on a fucking park bench. But like when I was in Bali, I was hooking up with a friend as well. And we were like, if we're all out for dinner, we'd kind of go meet in the toilets and like hook up in the toilet.
Yeah.
And I just love that. I love that. It's hot. It's sexy. Like,
yeah, it is. There's just something about it.
And it's quick.
Yeah.
And I know we just talked about how.
There's different types of sex.
They
have their purposes.
Yeah. And a quick little hookup in the bathroom. Oof. That's probably, that's my favorite. That's my top tier.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think I've only done it once that I remember. I accidentally walked in on a guy in the toilet. It was like unisex toilets, and I walked in and I looked at him and I just went, bend me over. And then the funniest part was, so we're in there, right? He bends me over. I had my period, but I was so drunk, I forgot I had my period.
I always do that.
But I had a menstrual cuppy, and he just, like, couldn't get it in. And he got going for a little bit, and then it just wasn't working. I was like, why isn't this working? And I kind of got a bit shitty at him. Like, come on, bro. Like,
what's wrong with your dick? Yeah.
I had a menstrual cup in.
I've done that before. I forgot I had one in. And then woke up the next day, and I was like, I had my period last night. I literally had to stick my whole fucking hand in the shower to try and find it. I must have, like, banged it right up on my cervix. Yeah. Jenna, they've actually invented a menstrual cup now.
You can have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a C cup or something.
Yeah, I think it's got like the brand's like Nixit or something. Yeah. Like it keeps popping up on my Instagram.
Yeah,
ads.
No, I saw that and I was like, We should
invest in that.
Yeah, 100%.
We should reach out.
100%. Yeah, literally. I feel like it would be cool. I don't know how I'd go because I have a prolapse at the moment. So my
No.
But like a bladder one.
Oh, so like, honey.
My like, this is my like. This wall here, my interior yep. wall, it's kind of like dropped down and it like goes like this. So like trying to use a menstrual cup sometimes hard because it like pushes against
how
the
do
cup.
How do you fix that?
Pelvic floor exercises. And okay. I have to wear a pessary, which is like this cube I've got to shove up there every day.
Oh my gosh. What's that from? Just like it's a genetic
IBS, thing? IBS, constipation, straining too much.
Dude, I got hemorrhoids, so I totally get that. Yeah, I mean, hemorrhoids are
I literally pushed my bladder out. Like not all the way out, but literally pushed. I remember I stood up and I was like, fuck. I was like straight out. When I felt, I was like, I've either got two vaginas because you could like go like this. Like I could put my finger and go one way or go the other way. I'm like, I've either got two vaginas
or
I've just given
out.
Myself a prolapse. And because of like everything I do, I knew. And I remember like my other housemate, Georgia, I like ran out to her. I was like, Georgia, I'm like, help.
My vagina's falling out.
Like, literally, then I had to go to the doctor the next day. And then, so I've been dealing with that for like 6 months. And I don't think it's ever going to go away. I think it's something I have to have for the rest. Like,
Can you have surgery still? You can have like a...
Yeah, you can, but yeah. I don't know if they would. Because the way they're going to do it is like cut from the bottom all the way to the top and then like cut out excess skin. And, like,
it's like a vagina like a, tuck.
Yeah.
Pretty wow. much.
And I'm like, that's I haven't so even had a child to like be like, oh, no. That was worth it. Like, I was literally
Does
just
Does it
shitting.
Affect sex? Like,
well, this is. At the moment, I don't know. So, like, I'm a bit more in my head about
it. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know if it's going to change because I have been able to orgasm from penetration before, like that one time. Yeah, but I don't know because so now it feels like my... Because it comes down...
Is it the back or the front?
Front wall.
Oh, so like where your G-spot is.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a bit weird and like sex has been kind of painful and I don't know if that's... Just the anatomy I've been working with, or if it's like
great reminder to do my pelvic floors.
Yeah, I literally have a thing on my
I'm doing
phone
it right now.
Yeah, I literally have a thing on my phone that sets off a timer twice a day.
That's crazy. I've got really bad hemorrhoids. Like while we're talking about it, like my asshole's fucked up. Like I want to have surgery to fix it. Like I do not have a designer bum hole. Like it is like dog's breakfast back there. Yeah. Like, and it's, I don't know, like, it's just like a genetic thing. Like my mom gets them too.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Like it's really bad. It's on the list of things to fix, but like I'm a cancer survivor. So I have all sorts wrong with me. So I've had surgery after surgery after surgery. So now when it's like something as minor as my bum hole and I'm not dying, I'm like, oh, I can't be fucked. Like,
yeah.
But I do, I want to get my bum hole fixed.
Yeah, bum hole rejuvenation. Yeah, like I need my vagina fixed. Yeah,
I can't do anal. I want to start experimenting.
Yeah,
a bit more.
Cause you wouldn't be able to do it. Like,
well, I'm scared to stick anything up there.
Yeah, I would be too.
Also, I had a look at it the other day. I was like, oh my God. It's like, oh my God. But like, not that I've looked at a lot of bum holes, like apart from porn, which is like, you know, we don't listen to that, but I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with it? Like,
yeah, that is so funny.
Yeah. Anyway, just if I come clean with it, no one can call me out on it.
Like, no, exactly.
Like I told you my asshole was fucked up.
Yeah, literally. Anyway, the next question I had, which is going to be random, was obviously we said best sexual experience, but like what actually makes sex orgasmic for you?
Great. Well, I mean, as we touched on, it's foreplay.
Yeah.
I think it's either spontaneity or foreplay. But again, with the spontaneous sex, that's all about foreplay too.
Yeah.
Because like when I'm wanting to fuck someone at a restaurant, like they're undressing me. They're looking at my titties. They're touching my knee. Ooh. Like that's what does it for me. Mm-hmm. And if a guy starts seducing me from like, you know, when we meet, like I'm done. Like that's what makes sex good for me. Is like I don't want a guy to just like, yeah, like the sex I had bloody a month ago. Like I don't want someone just pulling down my pants and sticking it in. Like, it's all about foreplay. That's mm-hmm. what makes it orgasmic.
Ooh. Yeah, foreplay. 100%. I love that answer. What about what makes sex not so orgasmic?
Definitely. Literally just, like, the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Opposite. Yeah. Any other things? Anything that turned you off?
Lack of consent, I think. Like, I think there's this real trend at the moment, which, again, all stems from, like, bad pornography of men choking women.
Mm-hmm.
I love a nice choke, but men don't know how to do it properly. It's not about restricting airflow. It's about restricting blood flow. Mm-hmm. And men, a lot of guys are doing it without consent.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I've had one out of 50-something ask.
Yeah.
And that was after.
Yeah, and it's not that you don't have to have like a, you don't have to be like, do you consent to this? It's like, you know, maybe go to put your hand up and see if she responds. Like, you know, like, it's not hard to kind of figure out if she's into it.
Like, when you're in, it'd be like, can I choke you? Do you like being choked?
Do you know how to choke properly?
Yeah.
Like, do you enjoy? It's not hard. Like, yeah.
Like, I've done it. Like, I remember the first time I was at a sex party, actually, and I was with,
cool.
Yeah, and I was like with this chick, and we're in the corner. And it was the first time I had really just, I guess, seen consent come flow so easily and be sexy. With a woman,
yeah.
Yeah, and I remember being like, you know, like, can I choke you? But it wasn't like a, like, oh, like, we're stopping the sex, having this, like, you know, full consent chat. It just flowed with it. And I just, it was one of those light bulb moments. Like, I remember it so vividly being like, why the fuck aren't men doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't, that wasn't a turn off.
I think that men think it's got to be like a written fucking contract. Yeah. Like, you hear about, like, people, like, men developing these apps where, like, it records a woman saying she gives consent. Like, it doesn't have to be like that.
No.
Why are you making it so clinical? Yeah. It's just having a sexy conversation. The same way you ask a girl if she wants to come home with you. Like, ask a girl if she wants the lights on. Ask a girl if she wants to be choked. Ask a girl if she likes it, if she likes her bum hole being touched. Ask a girl if she likes it fast or slow. Like, communication is hot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely it is. And it just, I feel like it makes you feel, one, so much safer.
Mm-hmm.
Two, probably also helps you get out of your head too. Because if they start doing something, or if you're feeling their, like, hand go towards your ass and you're like, I don't want that. But, like, you
ruins
can feel
the vibe
it
for me.
You're instantly in your head and you're typed out. Whereas
with my fucked up bum hole, yeah, literally, you never know.
You're like, oh, not that hemorrhoid today. Like,
like, am I going to bleed? Yeah. Like, oh.
And, like, if they just say something, it makes it, you know, it allows you to just be more present and be able to make those decisions.
It allows you to feel like a seen person in the situation. Like, so many times I think, like, women just go through the motions, which, that's bad sex. Like, having a conversation allows you to be seen, allows you to be heard, allows you to be an equal partner. Like, we're trying to close the orgasm gap here. Like, we want equality in orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never going to be completely equal because men can come with a stroke of a hat.
Yeah, literally.
But, you know, like, just having the conversation. I feel like there's been a real thing for this, like, whole podcast. It's like, consent, foreplay, conversation. That's all we want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like if everybody did that, it would just change everybody's sex. Oh, God. Everyone, we wouldn't even go to work anymore. We'd all just be fucking everywhere.
Oh, God damn. Like, I wish. Like, I just want a man that asks me what I want, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've actually recently only started fucking guys with blue ticks now because I'm like, the last, like, three guys I've
you
been
have
shagging.
To have a blue tick.
Yeah, like, I only reply to DMs if you got a blue tick. I'm sorry, like, I'm elite now. I'm elitist. This pussy is elite.
That is so funny. Oh my God.
I mean, I don't, like, get me drunk, I'll fuck anyone. No. But, you know, the last few guys have had blue ticks, which has been hilarious. Like,
Have you noticed a difference between the blue ticks and the normal?
No. Well, actually, they, you know what? Actually, yeah. Yeah. I have noticed a difference. And the difference is the blue tick guys fucking worship me.
Really?
They love me. They put in so much effort. Like,
that's hot. Yeah.
The guy, I had this guy I was fucking ages ago, and he just was the biggest, this is like a few years, but he was just the biggest piece of shit. And he would never pay for my Ubers, never come to my house, never, like, I would spend like $70 on Ubers to get to and from his. Would, like, never put in any effort. I remember one time I was like, oh, do you want to come over? I'm, like, 15 minutes from your house. And he's like, nah, I can't be fucked. He's a $20 Uber. I was like, he's like, you can come here. I was like, no, I'm not going to come here. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Anyway, these blue tick guys, man, like, pay for my Ubers. Like, one guy got an $80 Uber to come see me one night. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm $80 worth? That is so sweet. Like, they'll like, they'll always bring a present. They'll always bring wine. Blue tick guys are gentlemen. Like, mm-hmm. I vibe it.
Okay.
Maybe that's,
I'll add that to my to-do list.
Maybe because they're more well-known. They feel like they've got, like, more to live up to. But yeah. I'm here for it. Like, let's...
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, that's just going to work in your favor.
Blue tick accountability. Like, I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even think about that. There you go. I want to know more about your time reviewing sex toys. Because that's before The Bachelor. Like, how did that even come about?
Oh, my God. It's your, the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
So, I made, like... There was, like, this trend... I don't know if you remember it, but do you remember that trend where, you're on TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. The trend where you'd hide something behind your back and then do that, like, kind of, like, the camera would pan out. I just did one randomly with my old Satisfy Pro, the only vibrator I own, this big chunky monkey.
Yeah.
And it got, like, I think it's at 900,000 views at the moment. Like, it just popped off. And then people were asking me what other toys I liked. And I was like, oh, I really like this one by Normal. Yeah. It's Normal, which is like the little carrot. And then that video popped off. And then It's Normal reached out to me. And they're like, oh, we want to send you some more toys. Like, would you like to do some content for us? I was like, great, sure. and so that kind of escalated. And then it got to the point where I was like, oh, I could just start. Like, people are asking me for shit. Yeah,
100%.
Like, I haven't been doing it since I got back from The Bachelor. I've had a bit of a complex in my head about things. Like, I think The Bachelor, because I had like a year off, the algorithm on TikTok really changed. Mm. And so my videos haven't been like reaching what it used to reach, which is then giving me a complex that the content I'm making isn't good enough.
Yeah.
So it's been like, I've been trying to get through this like whole head block thing. But reviewing sex toys was so fun. I mean, I still do it like all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really need to start getting back into it because it just... It all happened from that one stupid video I made. And then it boiled to the fact, like, we met at a Whoosh event. Like,
yeah, literally.
Who could have believed that? That little old Bella me would get invited to, like, a Whoosh launch event. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
So things have really gone well from that. And I think getting back to my roots where I do my sex toy reviews is really what I need to get back to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's fun. It's so fun.
It's so much fun. And, like, getting sent free sex toys.
I haven't paid for a thing. I have everything.
It's literally... the best. Like, out of everything you could be said, like, something for your pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I absolutely love it. Like, it's great. It's the best.
It's so good. I think the only thing now that I feel bad about is that when I, like... Because I've, like, got such good relationships with all these different brands, I'm like, I don't want to say anything negative about your product.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
But I have got favorites, and there are pluses and downsides to all these products, and I'm like... I know I need to be honest, but I'm like, but also I love this brand. Like, I don't want to say anything bad.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, it's hard. Of course, you would understand.
Yeah. What is your favorite sex toy out of all of them? Do you have like a holy grail?
Yeah, I do. I truly do. It's this one I got sent by. It's an American brand, Belzer.
Yeah.
So it's so random. They did a collaboration with BuzzFeed.
Mm-hmm. That does not make sense at all.
I know.
That does not make sense at all.
And it's this little pocket. It's about yay big.
Yeah.
And it comes inside a shell.
Mm-hmm.
And you charge the shell. Oh, heavens. Sorry, I banged my microphone. You charge the shell. And so then when you finish, you put it back in the shell and it just constantly charges.
Yeah.
I swear I've plugged this thing in twice in the last 2 years.
Really?
It is so good.
It just holds charge well.
And so
like, how does it work? So it just vibrates?
No, so one end of it is a vibrator.
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of like the shape of a bean.
Yeah.
One end's a vibrator and then the other end is like the suction thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have been noticing lately as well is like the difference between different suction products. This one is slower but stronger.
Yeah.
Like, it's just got a different rhythm to say like the Whoosh's, I don't know what that's called.
Empress,
the Empress or the Satisfy Pro. They've all got different things.
Yeah.
And this one, I guess maybe I'm used to it or whatever, but I took this one traveling with me. This is, and I struggle to use anything else. Obviously, I've been getting into the Empress a lot lately because I did some work with Whoosh last month, but I always go back to this BuzzFeed vibrator.
That's so random. I would never have like, picked a BuzzFeed.
But I think it's great for traveling just because it goes in this little case, a hard case that charges it. It's never run out on me.
Yeah.
It has never run out of me.
I love that.
And I come every time. And it's small enough that you can slide it in there in
yeah.
like in penetrative sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, 100%. Because they're like my favorite, the ones with like the little suctiony part.
Yeah.
But I always use the Womanizer because the way it sits, because you know how they all sit just slightly different?
Yeah.
It sits the best for me. It's strong enough. And the only thing is, I don't know if I just got a dodgy one. It's just a little bit glitchy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for a $300 vibrator, like, it's annoying, but, whenever it dies, I just go to the next one. And then that one dies and I go to the next one. That one dies and I go to the next one.
Yeah. I've got like I literally have probably about like 7 or 8 different suction ones.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because every vagina is different. Every clitoris is different. Like, so everyone's going to have a different experience with each one.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Which is, I think, you know, no sex toy is going to fit anyone the same.
No.
But yeah, I need to start doing my reviews again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll work on people love that shit. Yeah, people love it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hang on. I might put on some lip balm if
you don't know. No, go for it.
Another fun cancer thing is I don't have any salivary glands. So I just get like a dry as fuck mouth. Which is really hard when giving head.
Yeah, do you have to have like dry mouth spray? Like,
yeah, but I never use it. I just always sip water. But yeah, that's my chronic life. But I found this trick, right?
Zappos.
If you're gonna give head, stick a Zappo in your mouth.
Yeah,
because it makes and you get so slobbery, and it also tastes good.
Yeah,
As long as they're fine with having a sticky dick. Yeah. But that's like a really great
to
try trick. That
because I went to Timezone with this guy like 2 weeks ago, and we got heaps of Zappos.
Did you say time zone?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
On like a day.
My ex used to always take me there. Yeah. Like, fucking idiot. But yeah.
Anyway, we got all these Zappos. Well, I mean, he got all these Zappos. I don't know if he's already chewed through them all, but
yeah,
have to try that out. I'll be really good. I heard that if I put a Zappo in my mouth.
Chew, stick it in your cheek.
Okay.
Yeah. My best friend, Ebony, got me onto it, and she gave a tip to her friend at the wedding. So she went to our friend Molly's wedding, and her wedding present was a big thing of Zappos because Molly was in on it. But then she accidentally told the grandfather that that's what it was for.
How did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. But the story somehow made it, you know, Froom and Flex?
Yeah.
Like Flex Mommy, it made it onto their podcast. Like, I don't know how. Like, shout out. But yeah, that was my best friend, Ebony.
That is iconic. Oh my God, there you go.
But it's a great tip for dry mouth.
I'm going to test this out because I get a really dry mouth because I think when I'm having sex, I like always have my mouth open because I'm like breathing through my mouth and like moaning and stuff.
This water bottle has been through a lot of roots. Like, it's always next to me. I'm just like,
the sip.
Give me a little sippy. dry mouth. Yeah. My other trick is I'll just get them to spit on my hand. I'll be like, spit in my hand. And then
That's smart because I feel like guys always have spit and they always have spit on the go. I've never had a man that's not able to just have that much spit that could just go.
Yeah, I know.
Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. It's like they just drool. Like, obviously, they're drooling over our naked body. Like, that's clearly what the thing is. Like,
obviously.
But yeah, I had a guy tell me one time, he's like, the hottest thing you've ever done is when you asked me to spit on your hand. I was like, I only did that because I had a dry mouth, but thanks.
I'm going to try that. Yeah. Right, I'm going to have my list. Zappos, get them to spit in my hand.
Yeah, I've got some good tips for you.
I guess that's a good question. Do you have any sex tips?
Oh, well, those are my two ones. Classic one, like if you're using a vibrator, I mean, and this like, I read this in Dolly magazine when I was like 15, but it's probably like the last few years that I've really like implemented it.
Yeah.
So say like you're in missionary and you're getting the vibrator out and you're, you know, with a guy or a girl with a strap on. And the guy is back on his knees. So he's like upright and you're like, yep. Oh, sorry, it's a podcast. I need to explain that better. So, guys upright on his knees.
I didn't even pick up on that. They'll just be like silent and they're
Just for everyone listening, I was doing finger signs. So, the guy's upright and you're vertical, legs either side of him, and he is upright pumping.
Yeah.
And you're using a clitoral vibrator on your clit.
Yeah.
What you want to do is you want to get a pillow, not too high, not too low, but like kind of find your spot. And get it under there so your back is like up a little bit and you've kind of got your bum up, because then he'll start hitting your G spot, and then if you get your clit spot, I kid you not, those are the best orgasms ever. And I've figured out how to replicate this on my own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With, like, you know, G-spot
vibrators,
which are my favorite things in the world right now, which I will do a review on my Instagram for. I'm obsessed with them. I actually can't masturbate without it now.
Yeah.
Because they're so good. But the way to replicate that with a partner is just to have that little bit of lift in your pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, oh, yeah, it's life-changing.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to try. Because I always struggle when I put a vibrator with the, like, getting it on the right spot and, yeah, like, just feeling like there's not enough room between them and the vibrator, yeah, and me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you got to have them lean back.
Yeah.
And I always, because I can't come without a vibrator in penetrative sex. Yeah. Like, it's just, I know my thing. I know if I want to come, that's how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I come on top, but that's only happened a couple of times. So my thing is, when I do pull out the vibrator, I say, give me a minute, I'm just going to warm her up.
Yeah.
And I'll just, like, have a minute to myself. And, you know, guys love that. They'll sit there jerking themselves off. Like, yeah, it's hot.
Yeah.
But, like, I just have a minute to kind of find that spot,
mm-hmm,
the little window on your clit where it's that's the spot.
Yeah.
But I'll just do it by myself for a minute. And then once I get close, then I'll stop, a bit edging. Yeah. And then I'll get them to come in.
Yeah, perfect. That's a great tip. That is, yeah, a great tip. Because it can be too much sometimes trying, yeah, to find the spot when, and, like, you just can't. And, like, yeah, I find that when I'm, especially during penetrative sex, if there's too much going on, I can't focus the pleasure. Like, it's just, it's too much. It's like overstimulation.
You gotta say, I need a moment to myself. Like, let me just facilitate my own orgasm. And then you can come in. And then, you know, hype them up a little bit. Like, then you can come in, sweetie, and make me calm. Like, you know, then you can come to your job.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just give yourself a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
That's my hot tip.
Yeah, love that. Great tip. Yeah, I'd love to talk a bit about, like, Bachelor reality TV. Yeah. Worth the hype.
Oh, it's a hard one. I think I had a great time. But if you're looking to go on reality TV to become rich and famous, like, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bachelor isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, no.
Like, I didn't get any... I, in terms of engagement and followers, I had more before I went on the show. Like,
yeah.
I always think to myself, I'm like, geez, would I be TikTok famous by now if I hadn't had a year and a half, like a year off?
Yeah, of course, because obviously...
I didn't post for a year.
Yeah,
When I left TikTok, I was getting like a million views a video. Like, I was doing really well.
Yeah.
And then I left, and then now, like, it's fucked my whole algorithm. Like, yeah, it's been so disappointing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I only got like an extra 1,000 followers on Instagram. I've grown more the last 2.5 weeks than I ever did from The Bachelor. And I'm really proud of that. Like, it's all me. It's my comedy. It's
me. You being you.
And yeah, I would much rather be known for that. Like, I'm a comedian. I like doing funny shit. Like, I'm sex positive. I do all that. I want to create my own brand that's further away from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably delete it from my bio very, very soon.
Yeah.
But so I think if you go into reality TV expecting with a clear goal, I think if you go into reality TV with a clear goal, you're probably doing it for the wrong reasons. Don't go in there to find love. You probably won't. That's not, like, be realistic. Yeah. It's not.
Because I've always been curious, are the people actually going on there to, yeah, find love?
Yeah. There's three different people. This is just my theories as well. Yeah. But there's three different people that go on reality TV. There's ones that go on there to get famous, to start shit. You know, like, they're there to get famous and they'll stop at nothing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's wifeys, which are literally there. They want to find love. Like, they, mm-hmm, are ready to get married. If he proposes, they're fucking down. No hate to these women either. You know what you want. Like, good on you for going on TV to get it. But then you got, like, the kind of people like me that just, like, you just go there for a good time. Just go there, chill, go with the flow. And you will save yourself so much heartache and so many issues. I probably, because it took so long from filming to airing, I think I got too excited and I got too many high expectations about what the season was actually going to be versus what it actually ended up being, which was short and dramatic.
Yeah, it was. And, like, having three bachelors was a lot. Ugh. Like, especially, like, how do you navigate screen time between three different...
30 women.
Yeah. Mm. It's a lot.
And I feel so bad for, like, there's a lot of girls on there that quit their jobs, moved home. Like, you know, made these huge, huge commitments and they got about 20 seconds airtime. Like, you wouldn't have even known them. You don't even know their names. And that is so disappointing. Like, out of everyone, I think I got the best edit, like, by far.
Yeah, 100%.
For someone that got zero fucking on-screen romance. But that really affected me as well. Like, it really affected my self-worth because okay, imagine this, right? Imagine you go up to a guy that you're a little unsure about, but your friend's like, hey, go talk to that guy. He seems cool. You go up, you shoot your shot. You're like, hey, you know, what do you think about me? Like, do you want to give it a go? And he says, no, thank you. And then you leave and you're like, oh, that sucked. Don't want to do that again. Imagine doing that every day for 2 months.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. So I knew that Jed wasn't that into me, but was being encouraged by producers, being encouraged by my friends, also being encouraged by myself. Like, I came on there to give it a shot.
Yeah, and put yourself out there.
And I was just getting rejected every single fucking time. And whilst I look back now and I'm like, I would not have wanted to be with him. The fact, it's kind of like you get in this, and it's all the psychology behind reality TV. But yeah, I was getting like rejected on the daily by someone I knew that I wasn't really right for me, but I felt like I had to do it. And then going through, like, every time we'd speak and, you know, I would be like, hey, how do you feel about me this time? And he'd be like, oh, you know, you're really great. But, like, it was like being dumped, like, 3 times a week. Like,
that's rough. And I imagine that would take a toll, too, like, again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd actually go in that situation. And then because it's hard, like, being on there. And then it's like, well, how do I then navigate the rest of this? Unless I'd leave. Like, how do you navigate that?
But I didn't want to leave because I was having such a fun time.
Yeah, I'm on this. I can imagine. I can, like, imagine.
It was, like, honestly, I'm so lame. I messaged one of my producers the other day. I was a bit drunk and I was like, I want to go back with The Bachelor. And he was like, babe, when does anyone ever come back? I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Just send me back. I want to go in the mansion again. Like, it was nice. I didn't have to pay bills. I didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah,
I can
imagine it'd be nice to switch off social media for a little bit too. Like,
I loved my makeup artists were incredible. Like, I just was hanging out with the most incredible people and doing fuck all. And so, like, I'd love to go back to that. Oh my God. It was like a forced holiday. Like,
yeah.
So there's that aspect of it where I loved it. But, like, if you're going to go on it, you got to be tough because
fucking
it is hard.
And, like, I can only imagine going through it, having a period, you know, out of there and trying to navigate life there.
Yeah.
And then watching it on screen and seeing the cut of it. Like, I don't know how I'd go sitting there watching it and just... Like,
there was a lot of things they cut from about me, which I can't legally talk about, but it was really disappointing to see. Yeah. Like, I loved my edit. I loved Channel 10. I've got no bad vibes about it, but I told them straight up. I was like, I am so devastated that you cut the things you did because it made me look crazy. And I am crazy. Fully. I'm fucking nuts. But I would never in my real life repeatedly go up to a man and continue to ask him if he's into me.
Mm-hmm.
Because why the fuck would I bother? Mm-hmm. But in that situation, I had to do that. And yeah, it led to me going a little bit nuts on the beach.
Yeah. Yep. I would be the same though. Like, I'd be the exact same. Like, yeah.
But people don't understand the backstory to that. The backstory is, like, I was like trying and trying and trying. And I was being hyped up as well. My number one fan was Alesia. Mm-hmm. She was the one on the beach being like, go kiss him. Just grab him and kiss him. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you're kind of in this weird world where...
And it's not reality. It's not. It's made... The whole thing's constructed.
Oh, and so people were like, oh, why is she saying that's the worst thing that ever happened to her? Like, oh my God, she's so dramatic. Like, oh, someone called me a rapist on Twitter. Yeah. Like, people came down to me and I'm like, you have no idea. Like...
The context
behind all that. Like, I'm not crazy. There was context. Also, it was hilarious. Like, who gives a fuck? My dad thought it was the funniest thing ever. Like...
Yeah.
And whatever. Like, you know what? But I would never put myself in anything even close to that position in real life. Like, if a guy's not into me... If a guy is even giving mixed signals, I would delete his number. I don't give a fuck. Like, you got to be into me 110% or I got no time for you.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've literally started not even putting guys' names in. Like, if I get their number, I won't even put their name in there.
Unless.
Unless.
Yeah.
Same. I'm like, it's not even worth it. And I had one, like, probably a month ago, I was like this close. I was like, should I put it? I was like, we've seen each other a few times now. You know, we've gone and bought a pot plant together. Like, I took him back shopping. I was like, let's go. Like, and then I was like this close. I was like, nah, I won't do it. Haven't seen that man again.
See?
I was like,
they're not even worth saving the number. Like,
no.
And I've had a good run with dates lately. I haven't been dating much. And the last few dates, like, I have been on, they've been really into me, but I haven't reciprocated. So I do feel bad about that. Like, I've ghosted my fair share of men. Like, I can be a bit of an asshole.
Mm.
But yeah, I just feel like the positive spin on the way The Bachelor affected my dating life is that I don't want anything that's not 110% now.
Yeah,
I feel that. And I think I've reached a point as well. Oh my God, this is huge. I'm going to say this on a podcast. I want babies.
You want babies?
Soon. Yeah. Like, yeah. You're ready. 5 years, maybe. Even less than 5 years. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting all the things done that I want to get done because I do. I really want children.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess in turn, because I'm probably too poor to raise them on my own, but I need a partner.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, shit, I've got to start taking dating seriously.
Yeah, 100%. And really, like,
yeah,
probably also, like, think with you. I feel like, especially now, I don't know, like, nowadays, because I feel like relationships don't necessarily always last as long. You really got to also think of your head when it comes to kids, being mm-hmm. like, is this somebody I can put up with for at least for the rest of it? Are they going to be a good partner, even if we're not together? And, like, friends.
Can do I
they
financially have the same afford this?
Yeah. Like, you really got to think with your head and not just your heart and be like, oh, my God, my body's telling you to fucking, you know. Oh,
my body is telling
you to get pregnant. Yeah. Like, please impregnate me. Like, yeah. It's actually funny. I've never wanted kids, but then the part's coming off the pill.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, kids are looking a little bit cuter.
Dude, I'm They're a looking, nanny.
Yeah.
I found out I was pregnant last year when I was nannying a baby. And I was sitting there crying on hold to the abortion clinic, holding a 6-month-old. And I had to do a FaceTime with the doctor. And he's like, are you holding a baby? I'm like, yeah, don't ask, man. He probably thought I'd, like, had a baby and then gone and got pregnant again. But that was traumatizing. But it was that abortion that made me realize that I actually want to do this, but I want to do it correctly. Like, there was no way I was going to, like, keep a baby last year with a guy that I barely knew, who lived on the other side of the country, and I was living in a share house, like, in Bondi. Yeah. Like, it just wasn't plausible.
Yeah.
And I still want to do a bit more traveling. Like, I do love my freedom, but I think now I'm coming into dating with a bit more of a
intention.
Yeah, intention. Whereas before I was just dating for fun. Like, I gave zero fucks. Whereas now I'm a bit more like, okay, like, you know, would I marry this guy?
Mm.
Would he be the father of my children? Would the children be really cute? Yeah. My genetics are fine.
Yeah. You know what? That is so funny because I've looked at guys like, oh, it's going to be one of those fine lines where it could be okay, but if this goes the wrong way, I'm going to be so mad if I birth an ugly child.
Yeah. I dated a guy that had a kid once, just briefly. He was really lovely. I probably broke his heart a little bit. But I was looking at his kid and I'm like, yeah, you're pretty cute.
Yeah. My last question I ask everybody, what is something, could be anything, that is orgasmic to you?
I love men's arms.
I thought you were going to say I love men's asses.
No, I've seen too many black holes, man. No, I love arms.
Yeah.
Arms. And I don't want to, I'd never body shame anyone, but I've had some really bad experiences with men with skinny arms, and I've dated men with skinny arms. I date anyone that's, it's not about arms. It's not about that. But because of these really negative experiences I've had with men with skinny arms, I now have a PTSD
mm-hmm.
with skinny arms, and it's not a body shaming thing. You can look however you want to look, but it's just, I associate that with being ghosted and dumped in a city that I don't live in.
Yeah.
So now I look for big arms. I love big boys. I love big boys. The
Same.
Two guys lately that I'd been fucking with, the last two guys, are big boys. Like, big boys. Like, 2 meters tall. Like, and, like, no, I'm not talking big as in, like, muscly. I'm talking, like, you know, like, I like, give me a belly. Give me, like, a bit of, like, oof.
Something
like,
to hold.
I want a big bear. Like, a bear man. Like, a B-E-A-R man.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. No, I love that. I can't do skinny boys.
No. I did.
Always go, yeah.
But they ghosted me.
Yeah. I've done a couple, but I've always, no, always, like, somebody, like, I'm not looking for, like, necessarily, like, all the muscles and stuff, but just something that's, like,
big cuddly. And cuddly.
And, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I love a good chest. Didn't even realize that was something I liked until this guy that I've seen. He's got fucking bigger boobs than me with his chest. Like, and it's all just, like, muscle. And it's all, like, tattered, though. Ooh. And, like, no tats here. So it just, like, pops.
A chest is nice.
Yeah.
Look, there's not many things I'm not into. Like, I'll be honest with you. I love, and, like, on women, I love boobies. Like, I'm a boob girl.
Same. Especially, I'm, like, because I don't really have too much of a boob. Yeah. Like, I'm more ass and boob.
Mm.
And, like, I didn't realise how much I was, like, a fucking love
titty girl.
Love tits.
Yeah, so love I love them. Tits. Yeah. And I didn't realise until I realised that I was actually, like, queer. Like, this is, like, I've realised the last 12 months.
Yeah.
But before then, I was so into, like, Charlie's Angels and, like, so into, like... Oh, like, you know, in Lilo and Stitch, like the older sister,
yes.
She's got really good titties. Yeah. And I used to think that I wanted to look like that, but now I'm like, no, I don't want to look like that. I just want some
titties
her.
In my face.
It's like, no, I'm actually kind of gay.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on and joining me here in my bedroom.
This has been so fun.
As always, Shaggers, please reach out with any comments, questions, or stories, either through my Instagram at thatsorgasmic or my email emily.duncan@thatsorgasmic.com. Please leave a review as I'd love to know what you're thinking, and you'll also go in for the chance to win a discounted session with me at Emily Duncan Sexology. And please subscribe whatever platform you still listen to this podcast so you'll never miss an episode. So thank you, Shaggers, and I'll see you next time.